When you're getting started in real estate investing, you probably get in your own way a lot and perhaps stop yourself from doing things that if you just take action and get on with it and keep trying, you'll start to get results. And my guest this week on the podcast, Mike Menino, has had that kind of experience. He started very young and in fact turned his first $14,500 into a thriving real estate investing business with 65 units in just 3 years, and now has made the transition into multifamily and made $700,000 on his first 16-unit apartment building. Mike is an action taker. He really does get into how he has used marketing a little bit differently and consistently to drive those kind of results. So I think you're going to find this really inspiring, really interesting and insightful for your own real estate investing business. So enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Content Marketing Podcast, where we help you build a private following of investors to finance your next real estate investment project. We're here to show you how to create content that people can't ignore and that turns your real estate investing business into a standout success. In each episode, we'll explore the secrets of content marketing for real estate investors. We'll chat with smart people, give you useful tips, and share success stories from others who've mastered content marketing in their real estate investing businesses. We'll cover topics like writing articles, blog posts, ebooks, video, podcasts, email, marketing, online education, social media, graphics and images, and of course, AI. If it's content, we'll have the experts and the insights you'll need. Whether you're learning to tell compelling stories, figuring out social media, or growing your real estate investing business through content, you're in the right place. And now, on with the show. Mike, thank you for joining us today. I'm sitting here in a sweater, you're sitting in a t-shirt, so we'll cover that in a minute as to how you've managed to do that, because most of your business is in Michigan, correct? In Detroit, in particular. And I think the interesting thing that struck me when we were chatting before we came on and also previously when I was looking at your background is consistently being able to flip houses, even at the moment. And I remember when COVID was happening and, oh my gosh, like flipping, all of a sudden your expenses doubled overnight and people were kind of going underwater with flipping. So how have you managed to successfully and consistently build a flipping business in real estate?
Hey, Paul, well, thank you very much for having me. And yeah, I'm very blessed. And like you said, during COVID, I'll never forget, I'm from Michigan. I lived in Michigan at the time.
Now we moved to South Carolina,
where it's nice and warm. I got a t-shirt on. Love it. And I'll never forget, it was in March, you know, of 2020. And Gretchen Whitmer made it illegal for 45 days to anyone to look at real estate, for my contractors to look at or work on the houses. We had houses for sale. No one could look at them. So it was frozen for 45 days. I had like 10 to 12 houses at the time. I remember I lost $18,000 in mortgages, non-homestead property taxes and expenses because houses were just sitting there vacant with nothing getting done. And I was able to sleep at night because the type of houses we buy are the first-time home buyer homes. So we designed our business. We don't do any luxury homes. And people asked for years, like, Mike, how come you don't do luxury homes? You know, you can buy a house for $1 million and maybe sell it for $1.5 million. And it's for times like that when the world could end, or right now when interest rates have doubled or tripled from what they were a few years ago, and those houses are taking a beating. So how I kind of really recession-proofed my business as much as possible was we stick with the first-time homebuyer home. So in Michigan, you know, these might be buying them for around $100,000, like in that range, in the 100s. We're putting $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 into them and selling them for in the $200,000 range. So when I had 10, 12 houses at the time and the world shut down, I was like, you know what? Even with our hard money debt, what, 10 or 12% interest, I could still put a tenant in there and even break even or cash flow a few dollars a month and say, hey, you know what? And then when the world turns back on again, I could, you know, flip them and then get the business going. So that was one of the ways I designed my business to kind of help protect us.
Right. And how did you get into real estate in the first place? What's the story behind that?
Very good question. So I tried many different things, but I'll back up a little bit. So I was blessed to have my father grew up. I grew up in construction. My dad, like we were talking about right before we recorded, he was a contractor. So he put in the cabinets and the doors and the trim and the drywall. And so I would go with him growing up in the summers and work for $20 a day and clean up the job sites and shoot myself in the thumb with a nail gun and kind of like learn, you know, construction and put up some base and shoe molding and, you know, work with my hands. And my father always told me, like, I don't want you working with your hands like I do. I want you to work with your brain. So I had that experience of real estate, and I was just lucky enough to be growing up in a recession, in the 2008 recession. I was in high school when it happened, and I graduated high school in 2011. I worked at McDonald's, bus tables, waited tables, and I saved up $14,500 from working and just living at home and saving every single penny. And I bought my first house at 19 years old. In America, we have what's called an FHA loan, where we're able to put 3.5% down on your first house. So I was able to buy a house for $67,000 at the time, because we had this really big recession in Metro Detroit. It was a 3-bed, 2-bath house. And it was really cool. The mortgage payment was $600 a month. Wow. And I was waiting. Yeah, I know, right? And I'm waiting tables and I'm fixing up the house myself. And I actually brought on two tenants, people who I waited tables with. They lived with me. So I did house hacking before I knew what it was. This is before podcasts and before I listened to them. And so that allowed me to, like, wow, like, now I'm 19 years old. I own a property. I'm not paying rent anywhere. My mortgage is paid by my tenants because I charge them $300 a month each. We split utilities three ways. I'm putting myself through college. I fix up the house, did the kitchen, the bathroom. I'm on YouTube learning how to tile, you know, my bathroom. And then in 2015, I sold it for $147,000. Nice. So I'm like 22 years old with a $60,000 check. And everyone's like, are you going to get the Camaro that you wanted? And I was like, no, I'm going to move back home with mom and dad and buy another foreclosed house. So that's
right,
kind of like how it started.
Nice. That's a great story. And you went from there. So you did that then give you the bug for flipping? Was that the, you kind of realized the potential?
Yeah. So while I was doing that, I was getting my financial planner's license. I had my life and health. I was studying for my securities license. Like, I was kind of, I was entrepreneurial. I knew I wanted to work and make a lot of money and not have a boss and have time restraints. I've tried other businesses, online businesses, selling t-shirts online. I got my mortgage license. And while I was trying all these things, I was flipping houses on the side from 2015 to 2017. And I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, I flipped, you know, two houses in a year part-time. And I've, you know, made more money than I was trying to do all these other things full-time. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on this and grow this business. So I recruited my father. I said, hey, in 2017, I'll never forget this. I said, you know, I would love for you to come work with me, like do this full time with me, because he was also doing his construction business. I said, I want you to just manage the guys. I'll do all the work. I'll find the houses. I'll do all the paperwork and I'll, you know, do all the marketing to find houses. I'll do all that work. You just manage the guys and we'll split this. And my goal for you is to make $100,000 a year and only work 20 hours a week. And if I do that, you have to shut down your construction business. And he was like, all right, you crazy kid. I was 24 at the time. And my goal was to do it in a year. And I failed. It took me 2 years. But in 2019, I was able to retire my father. He shut down his construction business. And now he just, you know, drives around, looks at houses, and it works part-time and doesn't physically work anymore, which is a very big blessing for me.
Wow. And what an open-minded dad. Because a lot of dads would not. I mean, that's humbling in some ways, isn't it? And you know, for him to be open-minded enough to say, you know what, you know, he believed enough in you that he was willing to go, yeah, let's go for it and stick with you. That truly is a blessing. You're right. That truly is. Excellent. And so once you decided to scale and go full time, what were the kind of things that you've needed to do around the marketing? Because it's probably easy enough. I know Detroit is a fairly good market for finding properties. Finding one or two a year is probably not that difficult, but once you're suddenly scaling and needing to go to 10, 20 or whatever it is, what were the kind of things that you put in place from a marketing and operations kind of point of view?
Yeah, good question. And so we don't do in the city of Detroit or Flint, but we do in between. So in the outskirts where like the Ford, GM, Chrysler, kind of like the blue collar and white collar live. The city itself is really hard to work with. My friends do it and they've put in three furnaces because they just keep getting stolen, like while doing a flip, you know, for a few months. So it's like, that's why they're cheap. So yeah, we do like what I would call like the blue collar neighborhoods. But yeah, so there's, it's funny because like, you know, my first ones, I went to the auction, right? And then I got that. And then I went on Zillow. And then that quickly dried up as the market was changing from, you know, 2012 and times got better. You know, there hasn't been a house that's gone to the auction. I mean, they're just now coming back to the foreclosure auctions. And like Zillow's really competitive. So I had to learn marketing. So we did a lot of direct to seller mailers. And we've done, we have pay-per-click. We have someone who called Driving for Dollars. Now we have someone who drives 20 hours a week around the cities we want. And he takes photos of houses, writes down the address, and we send them mail. We call them, we text them, seeing if they want a cash offer. So now we have all these different marketing channels that we've built out over the years that allowed us to generate more deals. Because if we're just relying on what's on Zillow or the MLS, you know, we wouldn't be flipping nearly as many properties. So something I learned about the industry, which I didn't expect, is that you have to become a really good marketer. I would have thought you had to become like a really good project manager and a flipper. And you just go on Zillow, find a house, you flip it, you make money. It's like, no, it's like the houses on Zillow typically don't have any margins on them. So that was something I took away that was interesting.
And it's interesting you say about the drive for dollars. I know somebody that does a similar business to you and they bonus UPS drivers.
Yeah.
And so they pay the UPS driver a bonus to, if they see a house that has long grass, you know, shingles need replacing, that kind of thing. And then they'll physically go and drive past and have a look at it and knock on the door and see if there's an opportunity to buy the house. So interesting. But I'm not sure. I think a lot of people do it themselves, but to have somebody in your team doing it. So how many people do you have on your team now?
So our team, I guess, is very small. We have a lot of subcontractors. Right. So it's me, my father, and then 2 years ago, we brought on a partner that allowed us to both leave. So I'm in South Carolina. My father's in Florida, so he's really retired. Right. And then we have my office manager, Olivia. So she's like the one that we pay salary and she gets bonuses. She also lists all of her houses as well. And then we have three crews that we use for flipping our houses constantly that we're turning and burning. And then, like I said, we have like a part-time he's a door dasher. He likes door dashing and Ubering. And then 20 okay. hours a week.
There you go. Same thing.
Right? That's exactly it. Yeah. So we pay him.
The new UPS driver. So it's the same, exactly. Same principle. Right. Okay. That makes total sense as well. Cause yeah, I was reading just the other day. I was shocked what Uber drivers actually earn per hour on average. It's
not much.
I'm sure many of them were looking for other opportunities for income. So.
Well, here's the thing. Because we pay him $1.50 per house that he uploads and then like $500 bonus if we buy it. And by setting it up like that, he was making $60 an hour. And I was like, holy shoot, maybe I should start doing this. Right? I was like, and he's like, Mike, I love it. He hits up these neighborhoods where there's a bunch of houses like right next to each other. He's like, I only put on 3 miles on my car and I was making $60 an hour. Instead of Uber and DoorDash, he's like, I was putting a ton of miles on my car. So he really enjoys it.
Excellent. And what about social media? What have you done? Because you've got a big kind of Facebook following, which is kind of a little bit unusual. I think a lot of people tend to gravitate towards maybe TikTok or Instagram, but you seem to build a very good following and activity on Facebook. So what have you done differently and what do you do on Facebook?
Yeah, so And that's the thing too. I think Facebook recently changed it. Now you can have followers. I think just like a year and a half ago or something. Up to that, you could only have friends. But I documented my journey on Facebook. I don't know why. There's like a lot of real estate on Facebook, probably because there's Facebook groups, you know? So I think a lot of people go in there. And in the beginning, I was doing it to raise capital for our fix and flips. So I was documenting the journey. I took my iPhone. I said, hey, everyone, this is Mike Menino, and we're going to buy this house. We're going to rip out the cabinets, the floors, doors, trim, kitchens, bathrooms. It's going to look really cool. Then we're going to paint it agreeable gray. We're going to put in brand new cabinets and stainless steel appliances. Come back and see it. And then I just documented that journey, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And the people like, oh my gosh, I just kept seeing it over and over again. And then at the end, I would either have one or two call to actions. I would say, you know, if you know, you or someone else you know is looking for a cash offer on your house, let me know. We'll come in. We'll give you a fair cash offer. We're easy to work with. We can close, let you live there for free for a week or two. We can help you move out. We can dispose of anything you don't want that you leave behind. Or I would say, if you want to partner with us on these properties, let me know. We're looking for investors and we'll do all the work. You just give us the money. We do all the work and you get a really nice return.
And you're doing mostly private money. Is that right?
At this point, it's private money. When I first started off, it was our money, and then it was hard money. Now it's just private. We haven't used hard money in like 2 years.
And how are you facing things now? As you mentioned, the interest rates are going up. So I imagine private lenders are asking or expecting a bigger percentage as well. Are you still able to make it work in terms of flipping?
Yeah, good, very good question. So the way we buy changes with the market. So during 2021 and 2022, where things were crazy, right? You had to, you know, give away your firstborn to buy a house. So during that time, we were buying very aggressively with our margins. So we typically like to buy, like on the normal market, 70% of the after repaired value. So let's just say a house is worth $100,000 fixed up. We want to be at $70,000 after we've already fixed it up. So then if it costs $30,000 to fix it up, that means our purchase price needs to be $40,000. We put $30,000 into it. We're into it for $70,000. We have a $30,000 margin for holding costs, closing costs, and then about 15% of that is profit.
Right. And that also gives you a bit of leeway, doesn't it? So if things go not according to plan, takes longer to do it. So
exactly.
You have to hold it for a little bit longer, or the market goes a little bit soft. Right. Okay.
And then, so that's the way we typically buy. And then 2021 and two, we were buying 80% or, you know, 75 or even up to 80% of the after repair value, because we knew that by the time we buy it and then by the time we sell it 4 months later, it's probably worth $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 more than what we originally thought. So, but now as interest rates change, the way we buy has changed. So now we're buying again at that 70% of the ARV or even 65%. We were at that number probably a year ago because interest rates every day were going up, up, and up. And we had to protect ourselves because when the house is ready 4 to 6 months from now, we don't know what interest rates are going to be like. We don't know what the economy is going to be like. So we had to buy deeper to protect ourselves. And it was kind of cool. We looked at our numbers from 2022 to 2023, and we did 40% less houses, but we made almost the same amount of money, is because we were buying deeper, if that makes sense.
Right. That makes total sense. Yeah, it's funny. I was at a real estate investing event last night, and one of the guys at the table I was at said he will not look at anything that's above 50%.
Well, wow.
He's really aggressive.
Yeah.
But he'll look at anything, not even just residential. Sure. He'll look at industrial. He said the building doesn't matter. The property doesn't matter. It's the deal. It's the deal there that's going to make sense to him. So, okay. And do you do anything outside of flipping, or do you tend to stick in your lane? And
good questions. For many years, I just stayed in my lane. I bought, fixed, and flipped 40 houses before I cut my first rental. And that's because I was putting all the systems and processes in place, growing the team, so that once I was able to step away and not spend as much time and it doesn't need me as much, then I could start a new business buying rentals, because they are two different businesses. And I think a lot of people in the beginning, they try too many things. They're trying to wholesale, which is a marketing business. They're trying to do flipping, which is a construction business. And they're trying to do, you know, buy rentals, a property management business, right? And they're really three different businesses. So I stuck with one for a very long time, and I was slowly growing the marketing. And then we don't really wholesale, you know, we just really are looking to buy our own stuff. So in 2020, I bought my first, you know, 6-unit apartment building, and then I've been full-time on that journey since. Right now I have 65 units.
Congratulations. That's in three years.
Yeah. Well, if we were recording this next month, it'd be way more impressive. We're had the appraisal, everything done on a 44 unit. We're closing on that the first week of March. So I'll be at 100 and something. And I just under contract today, about 2 hours ago, on a 25 unit in North Carolina as well. And that's because I'm extremely focused on what I'm doing. I only spend about 5 hours a week now in the flipping business, and I set it up that way so then I could put all of my attention on the multifamily business. And that's why, you know, it's like, you know, a light, right? And it's like if you have a big wide light versus like you can channel that same light and turn it into a laser and do more damage.
It's interesting. I think what you're sharing is a really important lesson for people that are listening and thinking or at the early stages of their real estate investing business or life is that focus and getting really good. But what that's also enabled you to do, I'm assuming, is taking that, not just the profits and everything else, but the experience, the lessons yes. learned, the mistakes made on the marketing side, as an example, or the operations side, and being able to take that and put it into another similar business in that it's real estate investing still, but into a different channel.
100%.
And probably your learning curve and success is accelerated because you're taking 4, 5, 6 years of hard knocks in the flipping business and only focused on that. And it's probably yeah. taught you as well that focus. And I think a lot of people, and I see it from the marketing side of things, people are afraid to niche. They're really reluctant because they think they're going to miss out. They're going to, you know, that one property where they're going to make $100,000 on a flip or whatever yeah. it is. So therefore they're going to be a flipper and a wholesaler. And I think you gave a really good description. The wholesaler is a marketing job. Flipping is a construction job and rental is a property manager's job.
Yeah.
It's three very different roles.
Yeah. And it is. And like you said too, the skill sets I learned in flipping houses, like, yeah, it was great. On average, you make $35,000 per house. This is great business. We do 20 of them a year. Great business. But then also doesn't, you know, provide for you like in retirement, right? Because the second you stop flipping, your income stops. But I took that same skill set of like buying real estate. All right, I've already bought a bunch of houses, so I know how it works. Rehabbing, I've already rehabbed hundreds of houses, I feel like, you know, 80 something houses. So I know what that process is like. You know, raising capital, I've done that. I know what that process is like. And then like either refinancing or selling, I've done that, you know, 100 times. So it is very, that's what the nice thing is. If you learn these skills, they're transferable to, you know, multifamily, which is the same process, just more zeros. Instead of making $35,000 on a house, you know, we're on this, doing this one, we're gonna make $700,000 on the 16 unit, right? It's this, and it was the same process, just more zeros at the end. And learning these skill sets are also transferable to any business, right? Marketing, raising capital, project management. These are all skills that any single business needs. So God forbid, if I did have to go get a job, I probably could because of the skill sets that I have.
Right. And was that the thing that enabled you to move from Michigan now down to South Carolina? And, or did you also look at it from a perspective that those were markets you were looking to get into on the rental, on the multifamily side?
Two things. So it was a personal and business decision. So personally, I like to be in a t-shirt and I live on the lake and I like to use my boat more than 90 days a year. You're from Canada, so you know what it's like. I like, we're going, you know, like by April, it's 80 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny, which means, you know, I'm getting tan. So that was one of the reasons. And then two was for business. So Michigan in 2022 lost a net negative of 10,000 people, where North Carolina had a net positive of 100,000 people. South Carolina had a net positive of 80,000 people. Georgia, 80,000 people. Florida, 300,000 people. Kentucky, about 40,000 people. Tennessee, I think 60 to 80,000 people. So that's where we're focusing on buying more multifamily. So in those states that I just rattled off, it's because you are also having a longer time horizon in these properties. It's not a 4 to 6 months. Like if 10,000 people leave a year in Michigan and you're flipping, it's not like a big deal, but 10 years down the road, let's say I own the property in Michigan, own the property here in North Carolina. One has 100,000 people a year moving to, and the other one has 10,000 people a year leaving. You know, what are the rents and the value of that property going to look like? So that's why we are actually selling like our apartments and stuff in Michigan, and we are redeploying it down here in the Sunbelt states where the population is demanding it.
Wow. That makes total sense. That's a good use of market data and getting to understand where your opportunity or your future opportunities lie. Smart. Very smart. So like, how can people find out more about you? What's the best place to get in touch or follow you on social? And where else can we get to know more?
Yeah. So if you go to our website, rewbuilders.com, rewbuilders.com, it's short for Real Estate Wealth Builders. And I have free resources on there. If you want to learn how to fix and flip houses, I got a video of me showing you how I found, bought, fix and flipped a house, made $55,000 on it. Free. I have my free Facebook group. Highly recommend joining that. I post in there every single day. And we should do live events. So I don't know when this is being aired, but next week. And we do it once a month. So don't worry if you miss it. I'm going to do a free live event on how to find multifamilies and buy them with no money or credit and even wholesale them. And I have another free video of how to wholesale. I wholesaled a 28-unit apartment building and made $175,000. Didn't put any money into it. Never owned the property. Just found the seller, found the buyer, married them two together, made, you know, $175,000. And that's a free video too. And I'm doing a free training on that. So we do give away a lot of free stuff inside of there. And if you're looking for one-on-one mentoring, we do offer that. But either way, just go ahead, find me on Facebook, you know, join our Facebook group. You know, we give away a lot of free stuff and I think you will be impressed.
Right. Excellent. We'll make sure that is in the show notes. And Mike, thank you for joining us today and sharing some of your insights and a very inspiring story. And I look forward to continue to watch your success. It's really great to see. Congratulations. Have yourself a fantastic day.
You too, man. And thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks.